What's up, everybody? This is Gabe. How's it going, Jason?
Doing well. Doing really well. This chapter, chapter 10, Out of the Silent Planet, I don't know what to make of it. On the one hand, my first reaction was, it's kind of a transition chapter to get from point A to point B. But there's little nuggets in here that are, I believe, are going to be very important for the overall story.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a chapter of transition. I think we see your cover picture come to fulfillment, right?
Yeah.
And I thought that whole process was pretty amusing. So, yeah, let's, I guess, dig right in here. We pick it up with Ransom interacting with this Cross. And they're doing basic elementary, I guess, definitions and language and teaching some very simple vocab words, right?
I like how we found out the plural, because we were talking about in the last episode, what is the plural of harass? And I think I said like harasses, but we realized that the plural for harass is harassa.
Harassa, that's right. That's right.
Hey, nice.
Uh-huh. And in his interactions with the cross, this creature starts, you know, gesticulating, or, you know, it's like this big giant game of charades that he gets into this boat, and then he gets out, and it's like clearly motioning for like, this is what I want you to do to Ransom, like get in the boat. And again, like Ransom is like, he's like lives in his head,
yes.
You know, because he's all like, well, before I do this, what is the relationship between them and the Sorns? If I get in with them, maybe this is the dominant animal, and then the Sorns are really like some kind of a sub, you know, herd type animal below them. Oh, but what if it's the other way around, and they're actually going to take me to the Sorns, and then what do I do?
Yeah,
but. You get the feeling like he would just stay there, right?
Oh, yeah.
If not for the fact that he's just like, just can't help but want to dive into this new culture, to this new language.
Exactly.
Like, that just thrills him. His curiosity just takes it over. And thankfully, that's good, because he finally steps into the boat because of it, you know?
He is very much like me in the sense that sometimes when I talk, and I'm sure I've done it here as I'm doing right now, on this podcast, where I'll start talking, but as I'm talking, I'm already thinking a sentence ahead. And so I feel like, well, I've got to set things up before I actually make my statement and make what I say, and I'll never get to my point. And I feel like that's what he's doing here in his head, where he's so paralyzed by, well, I'm able to intelligently have a conversation with this harass. So that means, hey, they must be friendly. But what if they're not friendly? But I haven't met the Sorn, but the Sorn looks more, it looks more like a man. So I can relate to that, where this one is more animalistic. He's just going back and forth like that, which is just so funny to me. I love the description of a boat here. What the boat reminded me of was a bass boat, like a standard, really shallow on the water, it needs to glide quickly. Has a low surface but wide body, just your standard typical bass boat that you would think of today.
Yeah. No seats.
Yeah. We find out later that would have been a nice thing to have.
That would have been a nice thing to have for sure. No, I also thought it was funny just the description of the way the Hross got into the boat, creature, you know, or like an animal with its arms or its two front feet or whatever you want to call them, kind of head first into the boat with its legs still on land, and then kind of lunging forward and
jumping 5 feet in the air.
Right, exactly. And I'm just like, Ransom is looking at this, but then imagine how Ransom gets into a boat, you know, like holding on to the side, straddling over, just like any person would. And it's just so funny to think that the cross is like, what is this thing doing? You know, in the same kind of way, you know. And then like we do see that moment a little further on, because like, as we've already talked about, there's warmth being generated from the water.
Right.
And so they're in this boat. They're on a lake that's growing in size, right?
Like it reminded me of like a hot tub, like the heat coming up and the effervescence.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like a freaking hot tub that they're in.
But imagine being like on a like a great lake of that. Yeah. You know, it says like it's almost to sea, and just the word C.S. Lewis uses here is the warmth of the water was oppressive.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like already I'm like tugging on my shirt collar from my neck, like oh, let me just get some room to breathe here,
get a little and little moist.
And so Ransom kind of takes some clothes off, right? His hat and his coat and
the Ross freaks out.
You know, like, what is going on here? This creature is shedding, you know?
And again, the one thing I do. Just skipping back just for a second, I did like the point about when the Ross pulls out the paddle. And Ransom's idea, again, thinking, how in the world is this Ross going to be able to handle this paddle? It's so huge. It looks so massive. But then just like everything else on this planet, it's lighter. And just because it looks huge does not mean that the weight is equivalent. And so the Ross is able to just wield it without any problems.
And it seems like they're going at a pretty good speed. You know?
Yeah, when they start off, I think he said it was around 15 miles an hour, which, you know,
yeah, they hit a current. They hit a current, too, and it really picks it up. So we talked about how the water was warm. We talked about how it's effervescent. We even compared it to, like, you know, being so thirsty that you get to your car and you see a bottle of Topo Chico on a sunny day, and you're like, eh, forget it. I'm going to just drink it. Like, just, oh, just – you know, that mineral water, warm mineral water. Hmm. And just how unsettling just even thinking about that is. And then you get into this boat that's just hit. That's like a jet ski, you know, almost the way is what I was imagining, the way it's hitting these waves over and over and over again, you know, and then he's already, you know, sleep deprived or just delirious. He's been drinking water, but he still hasn't been fully hydrated, you think. And the water he has consumed is like this warm, you know, LaCroix. So this is not a recipe for success here, Jason.
And so while they're finally getting into this larger water, Lewis is just trying to describe as much as he can this massive world that is unfolding in front of Ransom's eyes. And he's realizing, whoa, there's a lot more to this planet than what I assumed. And we get into some more language and some more words that he learns to differentiate the Earth, like, you know, just material Earth as being Chandra, as we heard in the previous chapters. But now we're starting to get more details, as in like mountaintop elevation in versus the caverns in a valley. So I'm gonna butcher this probably, but you had Chandra, which is Earth, and then you had Harandra, which was high Earth or mountain, and then Chandramit, which is the low Earth or the valley. And so they were basically going.
And that's what they're in.
Exactly. That's what they're going through, is the Chandramit. And they were picking up speed.
Yeah. You know, and what I thought, you know, as it, again, like I talked about, he's got this situation looming in his gut from where they're at. But even in the midst of this, he's, like you said, he's taking this in as much as he can. And he's definitely getting a better lay of the land. And what he's noticing is these large, huge red things that he thought that were clouds, are actually like it's rock. It's like a plateau that these mountains climb up to, and then there's no drop off on the other side, to where it's almost like that's what, when you're looking at the planet from I guess outside of the planet, that's that this red cloud like table or plateau is what you would call the surface. And what he's in is like this deep crevice, this deep kind of canyon that is in between these massive chunks of land. So I thought that was an interesting just revelation, because you're in it and you're thinking you're on the surface when it's got some mountains and some valleys and whatnot. But no, it's like you're in the valley, you mm-hmm. know, you're in the deep, deep valley, you know. It's actually this like red flatness up on top.
Yeah.
But with openings in the earth or in the earth of it that lead down into these hundramits where you do see growth.
It reminded me of like, you know, if someone land, you know, an alien landed on in the Grand Canyon, and that's all they knew was in the base of the Grand Canyon. They're going through the water and everything, but then they look up and they realize, oh, whoa, wait a minute. There's a whole nother level up above me. I can't imagine what more is up above now, where I thought, oh, that's a weird red smoke cloud up there. And then you realize, oh, no, that's a whole nother place. I got to go explore.
Yeah, and you get the feeling like at some point we're going to experience that, mm-hmm. but that day is not this day.
Right. And speaking of, well, okay, I'll hold on to the part. So, okay, let's move forward. So the rapids start picking up, and not just in speed, but now in direction.
Uh-huh.
Not just like, oh, hey, it's a little bit of a waves. And even so, like Ransom saying, you know, thankfully I had some sailor experience of being on the high seas and feeling that motion sickness, seasickness thing. And thankfully I've had that, but
he's trying to hold it together.
This is a whole nother level.
No, it's just, it's that warm water coupled with whatever he ate, coupled with the heat, you know, from the water and the motion and the movement and the hitting the waves over and over and over. And there's no seat, right? And the line here is, the worst happened not once, but many times. Poor Ransom here, you know, and we were taken to a memory of him being sick at a children's party and the embarrassment that he experienced from that, yeah. You know, and then back to present day, you know, wondering like, oh man, what's the Hross think? What's going on here? You know, what's the Hross thinking?
Yeah, it's hopefully he doesn't think this is a motion of a threat to him, the shaking and vomiting.
Or like, what is the Hross thing? Is it like, man, this thing is dying, and, you know?
Well, and here's the thing. Here's the big nugget that I was like, whoa, that's really exciting to think about, was at the end of that paragraph where he says, the creature was keeping an eye on him, but its face seemed to him expressionless. And then here's the part. It was only long after that he learned to read the Melikondran face. So to me, I'm going, okay, so he's foreshadowing there, which is really exciting to me.
Yeah, there's gonna be a long after,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, like he's gonna
spend some time with
these species on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
eventually things calm down, mm-hmm. and they get to just to kind of move forward here. They get to, I guess, this shore, and you know, there's other Hrasa that he's able to interact with and encounter. And I thought of you when I was reading this, because he finally sees the small version of the creature, right? The cute little thing. So it happened just like he called it, but in reverse order.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Instead of meeting the little cute, jolly little thing first, and then the massive, you know, 6-7 foot tall creature afterwards, it happened the other way around, yeah. You know?
But skipping ahead a little bit too, I also like where he said, you know, he being in with all the Hrasa, what he desperately wanted was other people, was man.
Yeah.
Even as he says, even if it happened to be Weston and Divine, I would appreciate even them.
I thought of you on that too, because I think one of your predictions is that he will be reunited with Weston and Divine. And
he would be
that,
like,
that
oh,
perspective.
Thank God. We got another human finally back again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so here he's got it different. You know, he's you could see like, oh, I could see maybe an opening for that to happen now, you know?
Right. Where he's understanding the importance of humanity and having another one of you as in a human being, a species, is so important, especially when you're on a foreign country or foreign planet for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I'd be remiss to not mention that right before they hit shore and get into this community of Harasa, there's a few more language words that are happening here, right? The word pairings here, Harasa, Handramit, right? Mm-hmm. So the Harasa live in the Handramit, and then Sironi, Harandra. So, you know, he understood that Harasa live in the Handramit, and that the Sironi, whatever that is, lives in the Harandra. I love what the deuce are Sironi, he wondered.
What the deuce?
Uh-huh.
I love that.
And then hours later, he realized that Sironi might very well be the plural of Sorn.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
That's immediately what I thought, of course. And then I read that part. I was like, okay, good. He thought the same thing too.
Yeah. 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 This plateau, this great flatlands that is so much further above this valley that they're in, this Handramit, that this could be the dwelling place of the Sorns. So I was thinking about this. You remember like a couple chapters ago when he was like, I just need to get higher and higher away from them. Like, I guess if you followed that ultimately and kept going higher and higher and higher, that would lead you to them potentially. Right.
And it would make sense that he could have been tracked, but it would have been easier for them to track him or find him if he was going closer and closer to their territory.
Well, sure. Yeah.
So, yeah.
So what were you going to say?
Oh, well, the question I had was, it kind of sounded like he kind of blacked out maybe a little bit in the boat or something. It seemed kind of weird when he was talking about near the ending of the chapter where, you know, like you said, they finally landed, and then it swayed beneath him. The weariness of the twilight made the rest of the journey dreamlike. And then it says light began to glare in his eyes. So is he trying to say like it felt dreamlike and that he was like he did kind of drift off a little bit into sleep and dream, and then the light of the the fire kind of woke him up? Or is it, was he really awake? Like, how did you read that?
Yeah, I mean, well, he just went through this like terrible sick experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's suffering from that. So I guess that when I read that, I just like, yeah, he's not doing well. He's definitely feeling horrible and maybe is a little weak. Because whatever food he did eat is now gone, right? So he's definitely weak. Whatever water he drank, that's gone too now, you know. So I imagine he's dehydrated once more, you know. So it's just, I read that as a little bit of that. When you're really sick, you're a little bit delirious, and things are kind of just a blur. That's kind of how I read that.
Sure. Fair enough. Yeah. Like I said, I could see it kind of go either way, that he was so dehydrated and so out of it that he did kind of pass out for just a little bit, where, you know, when you have that lucid sleep, you're awake, but your eyes are closed and you're sleeping, but you still have consciousness of what's around you, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's basically the chapter.
Jason,
don't ask me predictions. I don't.
What's happening next?
I don't know. I was thinking about this after I read it, and honestly, I have no idea where to go. So
I feel like he's just going to hang out there a little bit longer. Like, we just got into this community of Rasha.
Sure, sure. So I think...
So I... Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think I need at least one more chapter before I can start making some more bold predictions, because at this point, he's arrived at this place.
Yeah, so he's just starting to learn this language. He's only interacted with one of this species. So I bet he's going to... You know, this is like Dances with Wolves.
I haven't seen that movie in so long.
A white man comes into a foreign land, right? Interacts with the natives. They bring him into their community.
Way to date ourselves here. We couldn't say things like Avatar or...
No, we couldn't.
Did you ever see Avatar?
No, but I heard it was like Dances with Wolves.
I've never seen it either, and I'm very proud of that, since apparently it's, well, before Avengers Endgame, it was the highest grossing movie of all time. So
maybe Avatar got its notes from Out of the Silent Planet. I don't know. I've never seen it.
Maybe Kevin Costner read this book and he's like, you know,
maybe we should do a Earth version of this.
maybe part two is like Waterworld, because they were on the water.
And part three is like The Postman, because I don't know.
He goes mailing things?
I don't know.
All right, let's get off this tangent.
Abort. No, it's time, I think, for Ransom to kind of interact with this species and, you know, learn more of the language, learn more of the people, the culture of these native Malachandrians.
Well, obviously, I mean, that was his whole driving force. So I agree with that. I would say he is more likely to stay with them because he's already engaged a dialogue. He is picking up the language of this species, and it's his only connection of friendliness, as he says at the end of this chapter.
Yeah. Where else is he going to go?
Exactly.
Really?
So, if he's being incorporated into their tribe, they are being friendly to him, feeding him, giving him drink, trying to communicate with him. You know, like you said, he's got nowhere else to go. I think it's going to be friendly. The only prediction I'll make is this, is I think the Harasa are going to be friendly. They're going to be, in wrestling terms, they're going to be the face. So in case if you don't watch wrestling, there's two terms. The good guys, they don't say good guys, they call them faces. And the bad guys are called heels. And so I predict that the Harasas are our faces. They're our baby face good people. So that's my prediction right now. Beyond that, I'll need at least one more chapter before I can start making bolder predictions.
Well, I've got good news for you. There's at least one more chapter.
Yes.
So tune in next week. If you, like me, can't get enough of Jason's bold predictions.
Waiting on bated breath.
In the meantime, leave us a review, give us 5 stars, share this podcast, and you got anything else, Jason?
No, just thank you all so much for listening, and please leave your comments at our website, readingyourwaytoheaven.fireside.fm. Gabe and I would love to have a conversation with y'all and see what y'all think, especially if, you know, if this is your first time reading. If this is not, if you've read it before, just hold the spoilers, please. This is my first time.
Leave us a comment. But yeah. Leave us a comment if you've seen Avatar.
Yeah. Or Dances with Wolves. Let us know if you were born before Dances with Wolves or if you were born after Dances with Wolves.
Exactly. That'll be a good dividing line there. All right.
All right.
Love you. Bye, Jason.
Love you.